100% Cairns and the Tropical North. It's 8464CA. And if you tuned in, let's go to Machin Beach this morning. It's nice to have you along for the breakfast show just after 9 minutes past seven. Well, some interesting things to talk about. I am keen to talk about the vaccine rollout, particularly for seniors, and also the voluntary assisted dying. But I might just quickly touch on, there's certainly a front page story in the Cairns Post this morning talking about youth crime. Thankfully, the postcodes that are certainly mentioned as some of the worst areas. And interestingly, you know, certainly Brisbane has got a far higher, you know, problem than actually a lot of the regionals, according to the story in the Cairns Post this morning. But Craig Crawford joins me, and we'll come to his ministerial roles in just a sec. Craig, can we just touch on this issue with the crime? Because I understand all the indicators actually show that crime is actually reducing in our state.
Yeah, Murray. So, you know, I know not everyone will believe that, but crime, it is coming down, and it's coming down since, you know, since a few things were changed, and the police obviously changed some of their operations going back there about, you know, 6 or 8 weeks ago. I think the biggest thing is that now a youth offender that comes up against a court has to prove why they should get bail, and that was something that was actually around the other way. So it means that more of those offenders are not getting out on the street. The other thing we know is that 80 to 90% of kids that come up against the law for the first time never commit an offence. They get diverted to something, they turn stuff around, and they never come back. But we're dealing with about a 10% of them, which are really hard nuts. They're real bad eggs, and that's what all these laws and everything are all about. So they're the ones that are still doing stuff. They commit about 60% of the whole crime across the state, and they're the ones that the coppers are after at the moment.
And look, you know, I know for victims, it's certainly pretty much a violation, but it seems like it's just one of those things that gets some people into such a frenzy. But certainly, with the changes that have occurred and the statistics that we're seeing, things are certainly improving. We'll leave that one for a while. I want to get you to whack on your hat, you know, with respect to some of your different ministerial positions. But Minister for Seniors and Disability Services, let's talk a little bit more about the vaccine, because obviously, you know, it is a continuing concern. You know, I just mentioned about how Gladys in New South Wales has decided to leave the borders open, the only state or territory in the country that's actually decided to do that with Victoria. It's an ongoing issue, and of course, this vaccine rollout, there's been some issues federally. How are we going here in Queensland, particularly with seniors?
Yeah, look, pretty good, but obviously, you know, it could be better. And what we need now is for people to actually, you know, make that move. So I know there's been certainly issues around the supply and everything like that, but most places now are reporting, you know, relatively, you know, pretty good sort of supply across medical clinics and that sort of thing. So I think the message is if you're ready to get your vaccine, you know, then if you have a doctor that you regularly use, then that should be your first port of call. Ring their clinic, ask them if they're doing vaccinations, and ask to get booked in. If you're over 50, you'll most likely get the AstraZeneca, which means you'll have two shots. I think they're about 12 weeks apart. If you're under 50, then it'll be the Pfizer, which is about 3 weeks apart. Now, they are now taking, you know, bookings for 40 to 49-year-olds. So really, anyone over the age of 40 can now contact their doctor and start to work this out. For those that don't have a regular doctor, and you know, and I'm basically one of those, there'll be some pharmacies will open up fairly shortly, but there's also going to be a Cairns vaccination hub as well that will open. So for those that don't actually want to do it through a GP, that just want to do it through sort of like a walk-in facility, you know, sort of thing, just keep your ears open over the next couple of weeks that will come in. But it's going to be vital that we all need to line up and do it, mate.
Sure.
You know, it's really, really important. And look, you know, I think if anyone's got any concerns whatsoever, if you do have a GP, talk it out with your GP.
Excellent.
Get the facts.
And I'm actually off to go and get my COVID-19 jab today as well. So I think it really is so important. And you know, especially with, as we're seeing in Victoria, you know, we're certainly not out of the woods with respect to this issue. Can we turn now to voluntary assisted dying? And I guess I've always had a fairly strong position on it. And I know that some of the surveys that have been conducted here in Queensland are showing that 84% of Queenslanders actually support having some form of legislation. A lot of states and territories right around the country have actually adopted these laws. But sadly, and I guess that's one of my biggest issues, is there's a very small minority that in a lot of ways are basically holding the rest of the state to ransom with respect to this issue. I know that you're a supporter. Can we just talk a little bit more about the realities behind these proposed voluntary assisted dying laws?
Yeah, look, and I guess the first point is that, you know, this is an optional thing. So no one ever under these laws can be coerced or forced or anything like that. So it's definitely an opt-in. The interesting thing is that in Victoria, about 500 and something people who have actually accessed to get the rights for voluntary assisted dying, less than half of them actually used it. So a lot of people in Victoria wanted to have the surety of knowing that trigger was there if they wanted to use it, but they actually ended up not using it. But what this is about, mate, it's about choice. It's just about giving individual people a choice in what they want to do with a situation around themselves. Now, the law's very strict. You have to have a disease or illness that's going to kill you within the next year. And you've got to go through not just one, but two independent doctors and a range of things like that. Doctors don't have to be involved in if they don't want. So no, we're not forcing medical clinicians into a spot they don't want to be in. You know, so and there's got to be absolutely no doubt about it that you are of sound mind and able to make decisions. If there's even a sniff that you're being coerced or something like that by a family member, you know, that wants your inheritance or something like that, they'll balk at it straight away. So that's the proposed law in a nutshell. I think it's pretty good. I'll be supporting it. I want people to have the choice. I want people to have options and then be able to make the decision themselves.
And look, you know, we're all living longer, which is a great thing in many ways. But at the end of the day, if you don't have that quality of life long term, it really is. It's a bit of a false hope to have that longer life. So I think having that choice and that autonomy at the end of the day is only fair. I mean, it is a liberal market in so many ways, but I think when it comes to our own destiny, we should have the right to have that liberal decision at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And again, that's what this is about. That's what, you know, in some of the arguments that people hear, that's the important bit that's actually not being put out there is that, you know, this isn't mandatory. This is your decision. You instigate this, you know, and if you get the green light, there's a few options of how you can actually do it. When you decide you want to do it, you can have a medical practitioner administer the drug, or you can actually do it yourself. You know, obviously under a whole heap of sort of guidance and rules and stuff like that. But, you know, I was paramedic for all those years, mate. I took so many people to hospital that really they just wanted to die in their own house, you know, with their own family and that, you know, with their dog and the cats and that sort of thing around their own backyard. And, you know, some of the stories were really sad. We were hauling people off to off to hospital to die, you know, and it was quite traumatic. And I don't want my final days to be like that.
Yeah, sure. And I think that humanitarian basis is something that we need to consider as, I guess, the primary factor behind it. Interesting chat this morning. Minister for Seniors and Disability Services and also for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Partnerships and, of course, Member for Barron River, Craig Crawford. Have a fantastic day. And I'm sure you're looking forward to getting on that plane and heading north again very, very shortly.
I am, Murray. Thanks very much.
Cheers.